Hello and welcome back to the FitCast. This is episode number 323. I am Kevin Larrabee, and I'm very happy to have on the show for the first time. Like, it sounds like I'm having these people on for like the first time that I can't believe it's I waited this long to get them on the show. But Jen Comas. Jen, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
So we got like this is a really weird situation where I normally go to the audience like on Twitter and Facebook and say, hey, do you guys have any questions for, you know, the guests that I'm having on the show? And, you know, the audience out there is fantastic, but in the, you know, last couple months, you know, the questions haven't been super, you know, there hasn't been a lot of questions that have come in. But for you, we got a ton of stuff. And this is going to be weird because we're going to talk about pancakes first, because I felt like if I didn't do that, I would get like a lot of crap on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. So I follow you on Twitter and on Facebook, and I've seen pictures of you making pancakes, but I didn't know, like, is this like a thing? Like, why are you known for pancakes?
Well, so I followed a low carb diet for quite a while, and I got into some pretty serious mountain biking over the summer. And I've also started dirt biking, and I was getting ready to go mountain biking one day, and I was eating like eggs and bacon. And my brother, who's a crazy mountain biker and like races downhill, he was watching me and he said, "There's no way that's going to do it. Like, you need a stack of pancakes." And I thought he was crazy because that's not really a typical food that I normally consume. But he was right. We went mountain biking that day and I about died. I had no energy. You know, I just needed the carbohydrates. So, you know, from that point on, I started just scarfing like a massive stack of pancakes before I go and do anything. And it's made a world of difference for performance, but it's became kind of like an ongoing joke now because I make these Uncle Buck size pancakes, like for me and like the whole crew every time we go to head out. So it's kind of taken on a life of its own on social media.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's not like you, a lot of times for like fitness professionals or like people that are in this world, you see someone posting up like the newest, like, these are my healthy pancakes with protein powder and like, you know, raw oatmeal and all this stuff. So like, what, let's give like an example what these generally consist of.
Yeah. I mean, these are the real deal. I mean, I use like a gluten-free pancake mix, but I have been squishing up like banana in them and mm-hmm. like pouring chocolate chips into them and adding peanut butter and kind of, it's kind of gotten a little bit crazy. But yeah, no, these are the real deal. These are not your protein powder and oatmeal pancakes.
Fair enough, man. Yeah. I mean, that I think it was like when I was in college, that was the big thing of like, here's the new protein pancake recipe for this week. But, you know, I think it's, something we'll talk about in a little bit, but sometimes it's okay to just have some goddamn pancakes if you
right,
want to.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. So, like I said, we're going to really go in a lot of different directions on this episode, but you know, one of the things that we're definitely going to be, you know, talking about is kind of a trend that you have for, you know, this year, and that's like if you're on Twitter, you know, hashtag or your pound sign, embrace yes. So let's start just talking a little bit about that, because you know, you mentioned just, you know, being on a kind of like a low carb diet, maybe a you know, relatively strict diet. And from what I was seeing from people like on Facebook and stuff like that, they just really wanted to hear about, you know, how you've really adapted to like a more of a, not like a relaxed, but I guess maybe relaxed is the right word, but more of just like a, you know, a not like not going crazy about your nutrition every day.
Yeah, I've got a background in figure competitions. And so, you know, with competing in figure comes a lot of craziness for a lot of people, especially women. I was really, really wrapped up in diet and how my body looked. And I mean, it's kind of embarrassing to say, but I mean, it really consumed my life for quite a few years. And I'm really, really close to my brother. He's one of my very best friends. And he is kind of like an extreme, just extreme extremist when it comes to like mountain biking and snowboarding and riding motocross and all this crazy stuff. And he never really understood it. You know, he was always like, you know, you need to get out and you need to do things. And I was like, no, I can't. Like, I have to go to the gym and I need to, you know, what am I going to eat if we're gone all day? Like, that was kind of my mentality with things. It was just so obsessive. And there came a time back in fall of 2013, and I was just exhausted. I was completely exhausted by having my life just consumed by food and diet and training and, you know, what my body looked like. And I kind of just had this weird feeling one day that I was missing out on a lot of things. And I started to shift my focus. Jen Sinclair, who's the creator and owner of Thrive is the Fittest and just an amazing, all around amazing person, a colleague and a friend, she was kind of actually the impetus for change for me. I saw Jen going out and doing all these amazing, fun things. And I thought, I am really missing out. So because of that, I decided to shift my focus more on like what I can do in life to have more fun. And with that came, I just kind of stopped focusing so much on like diet all the time, you know, and I started focusing on having fun. And that, you know, that was kind of where the mountain biking and hiking and all this other stuff started, you know. So basically by me throwing myself into different activities and just trying to like derive the most joy out of life that I could, it kind of dragged me away from the focus on all the dieting madness.
So was it like a switch that you just kind of like turned off or on in your head? Or what was that process like? Was it something you had to ease yourself into, like coming from someone that was doing competitions and things like that?
It was kind of a transition. There was kind of a transition period. I remember one day back in like the summer of 2013, I just kind of had this moment that I thought, for the first time in my life, I'm not actively chasing physique goals. You know, I wasn't actively working towards fat loss. And that thought was what really put things into perspective for me. And I thought, whoa, I've spent the last, you know, 5+ years chasing this like perfect body and chasing fat loss. And for finally, for once, you know, in my life, I realized I wasn't chasing that anymore. And I was actually happy with where I was, you know, and once I kind of realized that, that's when things started to shift and my focus started to change a little bit.
So for a lot of the audience out there, we have a lot of people that are just like really big fitness enthusiasts. We also have a lot of people out there that are trainers and strength coaches and things like that. So, you know, I'd love to hear how you've kind of taken, you know, that idea and that concept and how do you use it to help other people? Because that is something that we do tend to see a lot, is that people get so stuck on macros or a certain like blank diet, you know, in terms of focusing on how they should eat. So, how do you use that to your advantage when helping other people?
So when it comes to helping other people, and I do a lot of nutrition coaching, so I work with a lot of clients. When it comes to other people, I think what I really try to do is put the biggest focus on how they feel. How do you feel? How do you perform? Like, how are your energy levels? How are you sleeping? How's your skin? What about your sex drive? Like, these are the markers that I feel like people aren't paying enough attention to. And those are the things that are really, really important. So even if someone comes to me, and the majority of my clients that come to me, like, the people that come to me that want to work with me, they've got physique goals. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting to, you know, look better and have more confidence and get a little bit leaner. But with that, they're definitely going to get a hefty dose of improving their health with me and, you know, increasing their energy and how they feel. So I think putting a big emphasis on, you know, how they feel and less of an emphasis on numbers and hard data, that's kind of how I start to get people to slowly transition. You know, if a client, and I encourage my clients to stay off the scale. I don't use it as a means to track progression or even really regression. So, you know, if a client's like, oh, you know, they're bouncing off the walls, you know, I lost 4 pounds. It's like, oh, great. You know, but how do you feel? You know, so I don't sit and celebrate the 4 pound loss with them, but I do celebrate, you know, how they feel. So I think that's the biggest, that's the most important part.
So in terms of, you know, we're going to get a little personal for a second, but in terms of this, you know, this embrace, yes, you know, you talked about doing more, being a little bit more outgoing with things in terms of like dirt biking and stuff like that. Has there been anything else that you haven't been like skydiving or anything? Have you?
No, I have a pretty serious fear of heights. I did go cliff jumping over the summer and it was without a doubt the most frightening experience of my life. Like I told a good friend of mine, I would rather have actually jumped into a pit of fire. Like that actually sounds more appealing to me than jumping into water. It took about 45 minutes for me to be coaxed off the rock to actually jump. So I did it and I marked it off, and I don't have a lot of I'm not really motivated to do it again, but no skydiving or anything like that.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you. I don't know how people do that. So, we're going to try to mix in some questions from the audience from like I said, we went to Facebook and Twitter for questions, and Josh Hillis, who was on the show a couple episodes back, brought in, he started with pancakes again, but he ended up bringing in a, you know, an actual question after that. He wanted to know, how do you help clients find the balance between getting results and enjoyability? Excuse me. What are some of your quote go-to food conversations with your clients? So I guess, how do you go and approach, like, what, I mean, maybe we can even take a step back and just talk about, like, what's that initial conversation when you have, you know, someone that is a new client and they come to you? What's that first step when it comes to helping them out?
So when it comes to helping them, I mean, first we've got to kind of establish what their goals are, and then we've got to dive into the why. You know, why are their goals important to them? You know, and if their goal is to have a six pack, you know, that's fine, but I think it's important to ask them why. You know, if it's to post selfies on Instagram, then, you know, that's tough. And so anyways, usually just asking why gives them the time, you know, for some introspection and do a little soul searching on their part, to kind of figure out what's going on with that and what's really important to them. When it comes to like go-to food conversations, and this is something that this is a conversation I have with almost every client, and it's even a conversation I have to revisit with myself once in a while, is the big rocks versus small rocks conversation. And this is actually something that I picked up from Jill Coleman quite a while ago. And what it kind of boils down to is that in order to be successful long-term and in order for a nutrition plan to be sustainable, we have to kind of figure out what are the big rocks, the big deals, and the small stuff, because we can't sweat the small stuff. You know, an example of this is I never ever have clients track or weigh or crunch macros for vegetables. Vegetables to me are a small rock. I've had clients come to me and tell me, oh, you know, past diet coaches have had me counting out my leaves of lettuce. And that to me is just complete insanity. I refuse to waste any of my clients' precious mental energy on having them count out lettuce leaves or spinach leaves. That's just a complete waste of time. So when my clients first, you know, get started, that's a conversation that we often have is, you know, we've got to figure out what are the big rocks and what are the small rocks, and we're not going to worry about the small rocks. You know, if it's someone that's preparing for a physique competition, that's a little bit of a trickier situation, and that's kind of an exception to almost all rules. But for general population and people that are just looking for fat loss and they want to get stronger and they want to look better, then we've got to figure out what are the big things that they need to focus on, because nailing the big things over and over again with consistency is what's going to give them results. You know, not wasting their time stressing out if they ate a tablespoon of ketchup, you know, on their hamburger.
Oh, fair enough. Maybe you could give, you know, some examples of what those big things that people have needed to focus on, because, you know, I'm guessing you have a lot of people that are coming to you that have done a lot of, they'll come to you and say, I've tried everything. When you start kind of peeling the layers, are there any common trends that you tend to see with your clients that, you know, that they may be overstressing about, or, you know, potentially they might just not be seeing the importance in?
Yeah, I think some of the bigger things that I see, especially I work predominantly with women, not really intentionally. That's just kind of the way it ends up shaking out. But typically most women are under eating protein. I don't know if they think they're maybe eating more than they are, but you know, once we start kind of reviewing some food logs and stuff, they're typically not eating enough protein. And nowadays, especially with the popularity of like the paleo diet and stuff, which don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with, but that has really jacked up everyone's dietary fat intake. So I typically notice people are really high recently, really high in dietary fat, low in carbohydrate, especially for the amount of training that some of these women are doing, and then low in protein intake. So they were really overshooting on dietary fat and then kind of low everywhere else. And, you know, also the low carb thing is something that I see a lot. And that's something that I've been really working to turn around with a lot of clients.
And let's talk a little bit about training, because I'm kind of curious how you go about approaching training. And let's just kind of stay in the you know, realm of general fitness people. So do you tend to have that same approach of, like, you know, making sure that we're just focusing on the you know, the big rocks? How do you like to program, or I guess approach programming for your clients?
It's really different for everybody. Training to me is much more difficult than it is to program nutrition, which might sound kind of crazy, but it really depends what the person's goal is. I'm a huge believer in just the biggest bang for your buck, which means focusing on the great big multi-joint movements. And then from there, it kind of depends what their goals are. You know, I've interestingly enough had a lot of women come to me lately that are just like, I want to get strong. I just want to get so strong. And of course, that's music to my ears, you know, but I also understand that's not everybody's goals. You know, some people, they're like, I just want to lose body fat and I want to be leaner, you know, so it kind of depends from there. But typically they will always be hitting big multi-joint movements first. And then where it goes from there kind of just depends on goals, you know, straight sets, if they're looking for, you know, hypertrophy, if they're looking more towards fat loss, or if they just, you know, women really tend to like sweat and feel pain, you know, so if that's the case, then, you know, some type of like circuit work, but I always go the route with like big movements first.
Let's go into a whole different side of the industry. Let's talk a little bit about business, because we, like I said, we do have some trainers and some strength coaches out there listening to the show. So we did get a question from Colt saying, I love to hear some of your business sense. Maybe the top two or three things that were hardest for you to learn while building your coaching business.
This is a good one. Let's see. One of the hardest things I think for me to learn was that you can't mold everybody into your ideal way of doing things. You know, for example, it's really easy for me to like take a look at someone, the way someone's eating and their training, and I immediately want to make a million changes, you know, because I'm really confident in my knowledge and my approach on how I would handle things, you know. But there are certain things that they might love that they're doing with their nutrition and their training. And so I think as a good coach, you kind of have to be, you've got to be in tune with that and aware of it. And you kind of have to be okay with some of it, even if it's not conducive with their goals. Like for example, you know, if I've got a client that wants to lose fat and build a bunch of muscle, but they love to run, I don't necessarily think distance running is conducive with those goals in the majority of people. But I, you know, it's not really fair for me just to rip all of their running out of their program, because they love it and they enjoy it, you know? So I think as a good coach, you have to take into consideration, like, what are their deal breakers? You know, if their deal breakers is, you know, hey, I've got to run once a week. I mean, it would be foolish for me to not let them run once a week, you know, and maybe I can talk them down. Like if they're running, you know, 8 or 9 miles or something once a week, you know, maybe talk them down to 4 or 5, you know, but I think it's really, really important to take into consideration what the client's deal breakers are and what genuinely makes them happy, even if it's not necessarily going to help or benefit them when it comes to their goals. You still have to, kind of compromise a little bit.
And let's also take 1 second. This is where I like to just in the middle of the show, take a second to thank everyone out there that is supporting the show through Patreon at patreon.com/thefitcast. There you can support the show starting at just $1. We just passed 125 people that are now supporting the show. And again, I just want to say thank you, everyone out there that is supporting, like Tamara Christie, who just joined on to support the show. So thank you to Tamara and to everyone else out there that is making sure that this show gets made every single week. It's a little late this week, but it's because things happen. Patriots games. you know, football. Anyways, so let's continue going through some of the questions that we got. So, you know, I'm curious, like, again, when you're talking about, you know, focusing on I don't know if it's like bad to call it like a more relaxed lifestyle when it comes to nutrition and things like that. But are there any like go-to supplements or anything like that that you used or you recommend for people to just make their life a little bit easier? Obviously not to rely on, but just to, you know, make sure that they are still feeling great, even if they are kind of relaxing a little bit on their, like, you know, Tupperware structure for getting their food everywhere.
I am not a big fan of supplements in general. I think the majority of the population could benefit just from eating whole, nutrient-dense foods and taking better care of themselves. You know, but, you know, I do recommend like a high-quality fish oil for almost everybody, just because hardly anyone out there is eating fish consistently enough to not need that. Mm-hmm. High-quality fish oil, I think most people, especially people that are training really hard, could benefit from some type of magnesium supplement at night. Good for recovery, helps them with a deeper sleep, you know, without any groggy side effects the next morning. But those are kind of my go-tos. You know, if they're training crazy and hard, you know, maybe some branched chain amino acids. But outside of that, it's really fish oil and magnesium.
Let's jump back into training. Jacqueline had a question, a little bit of a long one, so bear with me. I'm interested in learning more about how Jen has progressed to the strength level she is at today. Where did she begin with lifting and yoga, and what methods and programming has she used to get to where she is at? What are her current strength goals, and how is she pursuing them? Or is it to maintain how she is going about that on a week, or how is she going about that on a weekly basis to maintain that?
That's a good question. I've kind of been all over the place. If anyone's been following my stuff for a long time, they can attest for this. But I started off strength training, powerlifting. I was following Westside for Skinny Bastards. That was the program that I decided to kind of jump off into the powerlifting world with. I'm not sure really why, looking back on it, but yeah, I started off powerlifting and really focused on that. I started getting very strong following that program. And then from there, I started having Josh Bryant do my programming, which was probably, it's the most brutal training I've ever been through in my entire life, but it made me extremely strong. So that was still a powerlifting template. Just the accessory work and the supplemental lifts were the sheer volume of it kind of makes me sore just talking about it. So, yeah, a lot of powerlifting. And then from there, I kind of started to transition. I got to a certain point with strength, and I didn't plan on competing in powerlifting. So I wanted to kind of back things down a little bit and just do things differently for a while. So kind of just, focused more on like circuit training and fast paced stuff, which is just the way I prefer to train. I get more enjoyment out of it. But the big lifts, squat, bench, deadlift have always stayed in my programming. I think she brought up yoga. I've been teaching and practicing yoga for I think 10 years now. I've practiced and taught vinyasa and also practiced a lot of ashtanga, which is a strength type of yoga. So those two have strength training, powerlifting, and yoga have really complemented each other well. My goals right now are basically anything that's going to make me better at mountain biking or snowboarding or riding dirt bikes. So I've really tried to I'm trying to maintain a strength base, but I'm also kind of ramping up endurance work in preparation for an upcoming mountain bike season. So I'm a little bit all over the place in that regard, but yeah, I'll always keep the big lifts in my weekly training, but I am starting to focus a little bit more on some endurance stuff.
Let's talk about yoga for a second. This is going to come out of left field because I know very little about yoga, but I do watch pro wrestling, which is not necessarily something I recommend for people out there. But yeah, as someone that is in the industry, I need to know. Have you heard? I need to know how far this reach goes. Do you know of like DDP yoga?
I don't.
Okay. So I just need this. That was like my litmus test because there's this pro wrestler, Diamond Dallas Page, who he like helps former pro wrestlers that are falling apart, addicted to drugs. And now he like gets them like off drugs, like out of like painkillers, and gets them pain free from all these chronic injuries that they've had from just beating the crap out of themselves for all these years. So I was just curious. That's the, like my only exposure to yoga is from seeing really DDP yoga and taking one class, like how many years, you know, tons of years ago. But for people that are interested, because I do think it is like, you know, from everyone that I've talked to, everyone says like, yeah, you know, it's something that, you know, you should try doing it like at least like once a week. There's, you know, people out there will say like, you got to stay away from yoga because it's going to like have you bending in all these ways that you shouldn't for like rotational reasons. But obviously from people that are great coaches, you can get some great benefits out of like a yoga class. So if someone out there is listening, they've never done yoga before, do you have like a really good entry point or something that you would recommend for them to check out if they're interested in like trying a class out?
Yeah. If someone's brand new, I always recommend that people go to a yoga studio versus yoga classes at the gym. Sometimes yoga classes at, you know, just like your local commercial gym can be fine. But in general, it's safe to say that yoga instructors at designated studios are much more experienced. Most yoga studios require that their instructors have a minimum of a 500-hour certification underneath of them. And that's 500 hours is a lot, you know. So typically I tell them to go to a studio. Almost every yoga studio has a beginner's yoga class that's typically free. So they can kind of go down there, check it out, get their bearings. If they're unable to get to a studio, there's a fantastic website called Yoga Glow, yogaglow.com. And that is wonderful. They film these yoga classes in Venice, California, and you can go in and you can change the filter to where you can modify whatever class you want to take. It's going to be on there. If you want to do a level one, 20-minute long entry class to yoga, it'll be on there. And I think it's only like $15 or something a month. So if they're unable to get to a studio, that website is fantastic. I can't recommend it enough.
All right, cool. So maybe if you don't want to check out DDP yoga, which is like, it is like somehow gotten really big in like the wrestling circles. And I'm always ashamed when I admit that I watch pro wrestling on these damn shows, but, no, that's cool. Because I think for, you know, someone like me that I do like a lot more, you know, training, strength training 3 days a week, but then getting in some more extra movement stuff. And I'm not someone that's just going to go and crawl around on the floor by myself, like in my living room for half an hour. I just don't have that ambition in me. But, you know, trying to find a little bit more structured program. And yoga is definitely something interesting to check out. I think people need to give it a look. But those are some good recommendations that people can go look at. So I'm curious, you're talking a little bit about your programming before. I was wondering, can you like, you said like your goals, I guess, have changed a little bit and gone towards like you said, more towards like endurance training to get ready for just performing really well at mountain biking or snowboarding. So, how have you kind of changed your program? I don't know if like how specific you want to get, but, you know, you're still doing your three big lifts, but like, how are you, man, I can't talk today, but, how are your, I guess like it, has your conditioning modified, or are you like really just trying to do more of like a, just lots of, or less rest while you're, you know, strength training to make sure your whole strength training program is more endurance based?
It's a little bit of both. I'm starting to, starting to ramp up my conditioning, and also just kind of faster paced, less just pure strength based movements. I have been, you know, squatting and deadlifting pretty heavy for quite a few years now, and I have not focused as much on conditioning and any type of endurance stuff that I should have before I kind of dove headfirst into mountain biking this past year. And it really showed. I remember my brother telling me like, you're going to be in a lot of pain. And I said, no, I'm strong. Like, you don't understand. It'll be fine. And I seriously almost died. It was horrible. So yeah, just kind of focusing more on conditioning, and just faster paced, less rest type of stuff, more circuit work. in the gym is kind of the way I'm approaching it.
Very cool. And Barry, I just want to say, Barry asked a question. If you could make pancakes from just banana and eggs, I don't think that would work. That sounds pretty gross.
Someone, I can't personally vouch for this, but I follow Dallas and Melissa Hartwig over at WholeNineLife.com, and mm-hmm. they're the creators of Whole30, and I know that that's a really hot topic for them. I've never tried it, but apparently that's like the paleo version of pancakes. I personally think it sounds blasphemous. Like, I refuse to do
what? What? You put eggs in like in banana in a bowl and you mix it up and put it on a pan?
Yeah, I guess. I guess that's how people are doing it. I know. Like, you need some pancake mix in there.
my wild side with eggs is like, I'll put maybe some like mild salsa or an avocado. Like, that's me going nuts. I don't know. That's bananas just sounds like it's like mixing an acid and a basic thing together. I don't know. But I just need to ask that because Barry's an awesome dude that interned at MBSC with us this past I guess it was in the fall. So Barry, hopefully you're enjoying your time back in Florida while it's 4 degrees out in Massachusetts. So let's go to another question from Natalia. She wanted to know just biggest life lessons that Jen has learned so far as a coach and as a human being. This is a deep one. We're getting deep. But and this is from Coach Natalia from Raw Fitness Gym in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Ooh, that is a deep one. I think the biggest lesson that I've learned as a coach is to never, ever, ever compromise your integrity, ever. It's something that's extremely important to me and something that I will never waver on. I see a lot of gimmicks, and I'm sure you do too, a lot of really gimmicky stuff, things that are geared towards, I wouldn't even say geared, it's more things that prey on people to make money. And in this industry, it's really easy to get people to pay you for things, for training programs, for nutrition programs, and, you know, things like that. So I think you really have to stay, it's really important to stay grounded and to stay true to your message and who you are as a person. And never, ever compromise on your integrity. I think that's the biggest thing that I've learned. And, you know, even if it means missing out on, you know, money right then, that it, what kind of comes around goes around, you know, so it ends up paying off in the long run. As for biggest life lesson, I don't know if we even have enough time for me to list them all, but, I think it's just that, you know, we change and we evolve and we kind of need to embrace that. What worked before doesn't always work again for us. And that goes far beyond just nutrition and training, but you know, what worked in the past might not work again. So I think it's really important to stay open, to different paths and different routes that, you know, lead us to different places.
Sorry, I was muting myself and I forgot that I muted myself as the traffic was going by. It happens every episode. People know that. In terms of, okay, we got some more questions on Facebook and I don't know, this is a problem. It's like, sometimes I don't know if these are joke questions or not. So this might be like a serious question, but, Rochelle had a question about strength training and how it ties into aerial or pole fitness. So I don't know if I know this is like pole dancing and stuff like that is something that is, you know, a big deal in the fitness industry. I know people like to do it for, you know, strength training. So I don't know if that's a serious question or if you know, wrote something about it that I didn't see.
Yes, I will almost promise it's a serious question. As part of my Embrace Yes bonanza, I kind of dove into aerial sports, silks and pole pole strength, pole fitness, not pole dancing. It's very different. So I posted a whole bunch of that stuff throughout the year last year, like mostly on Instagram. Mm-hmm. But some of this stuff is crazy that they have you do. And I did notice, I talked about this, I think, in an article for Juggernaut. There is a huge, huge carryover that I noticed from consistently strength training for so many years, you know, and then you get into the studio and it's like, you know, you're supposed to be like flipped upside down and you're hanging like just on by your hands. And, you know, I really noticed that I was able to do that stuff because I built a foundation of strength first. Mm-hmm. And that's why, you know, I always tell people like get strong first before you try to do anything else, because unless you build a really solid, you know, well, a solid strength foundation is just the most important thing. And that's got such amazing carryover to anything that you do, you know, even if it's not silks or pole, you know, strength is kind of the foundation for all movement. It's really important.
Okay. I was being serious about that because I don't think I could be upside down on a pole and hold myself like up. Like I'm a relatively strong dude. Like I can throw some weight around, but that just, maybe that's like my, probably just being upside down just scares me, like jumping out of a plane. I don't know. It's weird. All right, cool. Let's go into, we got a couple more questions. Like I said, we got a tons of great questions from people. Melanie wanted to know if you could talk just like about hormones, anything to do with hormones. She says, I think right now I just have to hang in there and try to control my cortisol levels. Be mindful of how I react to perceived stress.
Yes, this is such a good question. And I've talked a lot, I've written a lot about my own personal battles with thyroid and adrenal and hormone issues that were, we think that they were brought on by figure competitions and crazy dieting. But I do notice a lot of women that come to me that want help, they are struggling with symptoms that are conducive with some type of hormonal imbalance. When it comes to women, I always, always recommend that women get their hormones, extensive hormone testing done annually, once a year. More often if they have a history of extreme dieting, extreme training, if they've had children, if they've taken birth control. I mean, really, it's kind of almost everybody, you know, almost every woman, I think, needs to be getting some extensive hormone testing done at least once a year. I am actually working on an article right now with Dr. Brooke Kalanick, and we're going to be really diving into this, and it will tell people signs they need to watch for, hormone markers that they can request when they go in, and also how to talk to their doctor in a way to get the doctor to actually run these panels, because sometimes it can be really challenging. So that will hopefully go more into depth than I can here. But suffice it to say, I do think every woman needs to get extensive hormone testing done once a year for both their thyroid and sex hormones.
Yeah, that's a good call. I mean, that's like something that is seriously, you don't really necessarily see in the mirror. Actually get some blood taken.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, the sooner you can catch it, you know, some people say, oh my gosh, once a year. And like, yes, it's expensive and it's a pain in the butt. You know, I mean, I've had more blood drawn in the last 3 years than I can even count, you know, but if there's something going on, the sooner you can catch it, the sooner you can fix it. It's when those things are left not taken care of for years and years, it can get really, really complicated.
Yeah, that's at least in the States, like that's something it's a little tough with like health insurance and stuff like that. But even like paying out of pocket, you're not going to spend too much. And it's definitely gives you some valuable information. Yes. God, like I wish I could have like a whole episode just on like hormones and like things that you can see out of blood tests and just like the crazy industry that is because of how, like what normal is on like all these various like blood tests, whether it be like TSH or testosterone, like how gigantic normal is.
Absolutely.
And like how they just kind of like generalize a lot of those tests. So you got to like not only get the test done, but get like show the results to someone and like how they can all change between the testing company, like whether it's like there's all these different companies that have these different standards for tests and how they actually run all the blood drawing stuff. So
yes, exactly.
Crazy, crazy stuff. All right. So before we start wrapping it up, I also want to ask, you know, about what you guys have going on at Girls Gone Strong as well, just because always working on fantastic content, doing awesome stuff to, you know, help women, you know, get into strength and conditioning and then and really get going with some great like seminars and stuff like that that you guys have been doing. So I know you're working on some stuff that's coming out relatively soon.
Yeah. So over at Girls Gone Strong, I'm on their advisory board, of course, and we are getting ready to launch a group nutrition and training coaching program. We're we're going to keep the roster small because we want to provide really, really fantastic service. So we're getting ready to launch that. It will be a package deal. So you'll be getting both training and nutrition. And that should be launching within the next 2 weeks at the most. Once it does, it'll be plastered, I'm sure, all over my Facebook stuff as well as Girls Gone Strong's. But that would be a great opportunity for people that are looking to make some really, really sustainable changes and progress, you know, over the long run.
And again, I live on a highway where there's like 18 wheelers that just come barreling by, and I can't soundproof my whole apartment. It just doesn't work out that way. And also, you know, definitely make sure that you're following, Jen on Twitter at Jen, Comas Keck. And, of course, jencomaskeck.com and, lots of other great. And also, I don't know, but is your Facebook, is it just / Jen Comas Keck?
You know, my Facebook is actually, it's a facebook.com/ beauty lies in strength.
Ah, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, I'll throw those links in the show notes. So if you're driving, you don't have to pull over right the second. Just go to thefitcast.com and I'll have all that stuff on there. But I have a feeling like this is just going to be like an intro. I'm just going to be like an intro to Jen, and then we're going to get some more stuff, because hell, like I said, you know, maybe we can just like come on and talk about like hormones and stuff like that. And, you know, see, we could talk about pancake recipes for an hour.
Yes, pancakes and hormones. It's perfect.
But yeah, no, totally. We got, that's a great name for the episode. I'm gonna use that. So that is really it. And definitely make sure you're checking out Jen's stuff. Of course, you can subscribe to the Fitcast through iTunes. Just search for it on there. Submit a review if you enjoyed. And like I said, you can help support the show at patreon.com. It's a really easy way to just, you know, throw a dollar per episode my way to make sure I can set the time aside to put the episode together, and it also covers our hosting and all that other stuff. So yeah, Jen, thank you so much for coming on. And if the audience out there, like, start submitting questions right now, and we'll definitely have Jen back on again down the road to talk some more about this stuff. And I guess anything else that you have coming up? I know you're working on you know, a couple other things that are going to be coming out soon.
Yeah, I am working on an ebook currently. Hopefully that will be out sometime in April. It's going to be based on nutrition and how to kind of figure out what your body needs, and then how to transition away from the crazy tracking and measuring and weighing. So just nutrition from a sustainable standpoint.
All right, cool. Let's like tentatively, let's plan on, you know, reconvening in April when that comes out, and we'll talk a little bit about the book, and we'll, you know, answer some more questions from the audience.
Yeah, perfect.
All right, like I said, that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you so much for taking the time to download and listen. And until next time, there's so many great ways that you can help support the show, like I mentioned before. You can also grab me on Twitter at Kevin Larrabee and at Fitcast if you have any questions about the show or guest requests, question submission, all that stuff. So thanks again, and have a great rest of the week.
Time for having fun. I'm gonna party hard until the sun comes up. The music feels so good. Dancing is what I love. We feel the heat tonight. The mood is feeling right. Until the sun comes up, we're gonna party hard. Done. It's our time for having fun.